Today's shiur is Masechta Avodah Zarah, Daf Ayin Aleph. We will begin on Daf Ayin Amud Beis at the bottom of the Amud at the Mishnah. It says the Mishnah, Berleshesh Shenichnasa Leir. If soldiers came into a city, Bishash Shalom, if they come when it's a Shash Shalom, when it's peacetime, Salachi is Chavis Pesuchas Asurus. Barrels that are found open are Asur, for we need to be concerned that the Akum, the army, took from those wines. Stumais, but if we see a sealed barrel, Mutaris Demuta. Tosfos asks that our Mishnah says that open barrels that are found are Asur. Without differentiating, if there are many barrels open, or only some barrels open. Even though in our previous year, the Gemara made a differentiation between many barrels, where when we see many barrels open, we assume that they came to find, we assume that they just came to look for money amongst the barrels. Our Mishnah doesn't make such a distinction. Explains Tosfos that when many barrels are found open, that the army that was discussed in the previous year was a group that came to search for money. So if we know it's a group that came to search for money, coupled with the fact that it's many barrel open, that's why we assume that they're looking for money, not for wine. But here in our Mishnah, we're talking about an army that came to invade, not an army that came to find, not the army that's looking for money. And therefore, our Mishnah doesn't make a distinction between many barrels and not many barrels. Furthermore, the Mishnah says, Stumais Mutaris. If the barrels are closed, they're mutar. And here we find an interesting question. What is the definition of closed? Certainly, if they're sealed, they're mutar, because it's a clear indication that they weren't touched, because certainly this army would not go through the bother of resealing the barrels. And therefore, if we see that they're sealed, it's a clear indication that they weren't tampered with. But what would be the halacha discussed through Rishonim if it was only the cork left in? Some Rishonim say the fact that the cork left in is also an indication that they weren't touched, because the army wouldn't go through the bother of putting back in the cork. However, there are other Rishonim that suggest that if the entire proof that they weren't tampered with is the fact that the cork is in, that's not necessarily a proof, because many times people just put the cork back in after they finish drinking, and therefore it's not a proof that they weren't tampered with. However, b'shas mechama, if they come b'shas mechama, elim v'elim mutaris, both the open and closed are mutar, l'fish ein p'nai l'nasech. When they come the time of mechama, they don't have, they're here busy with war, and therefore even open barrels are mutar. Here too, we have a machloikus rishonim. What does the Mishnah mean with open barrels? Some rishonim explain open barrels as the Mishnah says, open barrels, because as the Mishnah says, they don't have time to make nesach, and that's why the wine is mutar. However, there are other rishonim that suggest that open doesn't mean completely open, because if the barrel is completely open, even though as the Mishnah teaches us, they don't really have time to make the wine into nesach, it still only takes a second for them to put their hands into the wine, and therefore the wine is also, therefore the wine is also. When the Mishnah says here psuchais are mutarais, it means that they're corked, that there's some closure. But if they're completely open, even b'shas mechama, that wine would be also. So our Mishnah just taught us the concept that if they come b'shas mechama, we assume that they're too busy to make nesach. For a minute, we asked the Gemara, we learned a Gemara in Masechta Ksubis, Ir Shekav Shua Karkum, a city that was conquered by an army, called Kahanish B'Tachim B'Sulas. All women who are married to Kahanim may not live with their husband. And as we've discussed many times, a woman who's married to a Kohen, even if she was violated against her will, the halacha is she may not remain with her husband. And our Mishnah is teaching, that Gemara Masechta Ksubis teaches us that if the city was conquered by an invading army, we have to assume that every woman was violated. The Gemara Masechet Ksubos explains that it's only referring to a situation where the army completely encircled the city from four sides. Because since the army completely encircled the city from four sides, so therefore we have to be concerned that all of the women were, Rahman al-Tzlan, violated. But if the army only encircled the city from all sides, so then the woman could always claim that she was able to escape. There the halacha would be that the woman is not, that the women, given that they have a migui, that they could have said that they were able to escape. We believe that when they say that they weren't violated. But what do we see from this Gemara, from Masechet Ksubos, that even though they're busy holding battle, even though they're busy holding battle, the Gemara says we have to assume that the women were violated. Our Mishnah just said that during wartime, people are too preoccupied, the army is too preoccupied to do anything. Answers the Gemara, Amra Meri, Lenasach, indeed to make wine, Nasach, and Pnai, they don't have time. Livoil, which there's a bigger Yetzirah to do Bila, for that, even though they're preoccupied with the war, Yesh Pnai, they have the time to do so. Tosfos asks that why doesn't our Gemara make a distinction between during the war and after the war? That during the war they don't have the time, and after the war they have the time. Says Tosfos, the fact that from our Mishnah it seems that in all situations they have the time to do Biyah, and therefore the Gemara didn't want to give such a teretz. Interesting to note that the Gemara Masechet Ksubos draws a distinction between an army that is a local army versus a foreign army. And in that itself, there's a Machloikus Rishonim, how to understand that Gemara. Some Rishonim explain that it's the local army that won't violate the women. The foreign army will violate the women. Others explain just the opposite. The local army, which is more comfortable at home, will violate the women. The foreign army, which is on foreign territory, foreign soil, is more preoccupied and will not violate the army, the women. Tosfos, the Rishonim have a say that distinction is said strictly regarding Bia. Regarding Yayin Nesach, most Rishonim are of the opinion that there is no difference between a local army or a foreign army, as our Mishnah says, L'nasach, while they're in the middle of war, Ein lem Pnai to do Nesach. Says the Mishnah, Homnim Shei Yisrael, Jewish workers. And as the Rishonim point out, the Mishnah could be referring either to a situation that Jewish workers worked for a non-Jewish employer, or the Mishnah could be referring to a situation where the Jewish workers worked for a Jewish employer. However, the Jewish employer asked a Nochri to play the Umnim. And the Umnim were paid by the Oiv Kechavim, Shesholach Lam Oiv Kechavim, Chavish Shal Yayin Nesach B'scharen. The Akum sent Yayin Nesach as wages for their work. Mutalayma, they may say, we don't want the Yayin Nesach, obviously, because the Yayin Nesach is Asa B'Hanah, and they can't even sell it. Therefore, Kein Lanu Es Damer, give us the money instead. As the Rishonim point out, we have here a fundamental problem. Because while they're telling him to give back the wine, there's a concept of Reitze B'Kiyumai, that he wants the wine to stay in existence, that until he gets it back, and therefore it should be Aser. So Rishonim respond, that's referring, that they tells him only, give me the value of the Yayin Nesach. And since he tells him, give me the value of the Yayin Nesach, he doesn't tell him explicitly to sell the Yayin Nesach, it's not considered Reutze B'Kiyumai. In fact, the Rishonim are Medayik in the Mishnah, beautiful Diyik. The Mishnah says, Homnim She Yisrael, we're referring to Umnin. Umnin is like a craftsman, a doctor, a lawyer, an accountant. Not Poyalin, not the workers. Why is the Mishnah used specifically the example of an Umnin? So, Mepharshim explain. Usually Poyalin, usually workers, work in your home. And they get a paycheck whenever the paycheck is supposed to come. So certainly, if the worker is working in the home and he's told, here's Yayin Nesach as you pay, for your pay. So as soon as he gets the Yayin Nesach pay, he tells his employer, I can't take this Yayin Nesach, give me something else instead. However, our Mishnah is referring to Umnin. Umnin don't work exactly in their home. They get this salary sent to wherever they are. And that's the case of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is referring to a situation where the Umnim weren't there to receive their salary by themselves immediately. They were home, and the salary, which was being paid in Yayin Nesach, was delivered to their home. So they quickly say, says the Mishnah, if they quickly say, we don't want to receive the Yayin Nesach, then it's mutter. However, says the Mishnah, Mishin Nichnasol Rishuson, if it comes under their property, under their possession, once it comes under their possession, then the halacha is that it's asur, because they can't give it back, because that would mean that they're having hanah from Yayin Nesach. Here too, the Rishonim point out, it doesn't mean strictly that it came into their Rishus, because just because something comes into your Rishus doesn't mean it's yours. It means that it came into their Rishus and they had intention to be koinit. Because just because something comes into my Rishus, but if I don't have intention to be koinit, the halacha is that it doesn't become mine. Furthermore, the Achroinim discuss that this is an object that's also b'hanah. And since it's also b'hanah, how could you take possession of something that's worthless because it's also b'hanah? So the Rishash explains that since the halacha is that Akum, as we learned earlier in our Masechta, has the ability to mevatel avodah zarah, so that means that it does have some value, and since it has some value, that's why it's possible to take ownership of such an item. Amar Rav Yehuda Merav, Mutar la'adam loyim la'ovik kachavim. A person is allowed to tell an Akum, say v'hafas alay menas hamelech. We're referring here to a situation where they had to pay a tax to the king, and the Mishnah is saying that a person who had, they had to give a certain percentage of all their produce to the king as tax, and a person could say instead of giving his yayin, his wine, which he needs or he doesn't want to give to the king, he could tell an akum to give wine in his behalf. Here we have a very fundamental machloikus Rashi and Tosfos regarding when could this be done. Rashi says that this heter of the Mishnah is only, of the Gemara, is only a situation where the Akum doesn't necessarily have to give the king wine. He could give him even cash. And therefore, since the Jew is telling the Akum, give the king my payment, so he doesn't necessarily have to give wine. He could have given money instead, and therefore it's not considered that he's Nena from Yayin Nesach. Taisa says that's obvious, and we don't need the Gemara to teach us that case. Taisa says that the Gemara here is referring to a situation where even if it's not easily given cash, or even if the king won't accept cash, since he didn't explicitly tell the king to give wine, it's mutter. The Rambam has a very different approach to this piece of Gemara. He explains that the Gemara is referring to a situation where the king, the government, had a surplus of wine, and they decreed that everybody has to purchase a certain amount of wine from the government. And that the Gemara here is referring to a situation where he tells the Jew, knowing that taking the wine from the government won't do him any good, he has no need for that wine, to tell the government that instead of getting the wine, instead of me taking the wine, you take the wine in my place. It's interesting to note that the Beis Yosef says that even if there's a machlokes rishonim, how to understand the case that our Gemara is referring to, says the Beis Yosef, both pshatim are correct lahalocha, and both pshatim we follow that in both situations the halocha is that this would be mutter. Ask the Gemara, Meisvei, it says in the Braisa, Ayoyma Adam Loivikachov, a person shouldn't say to Akum, O Tachti Loitzer, go in my place to pay my tax obligation to the government with Yai Nesach. So you see that you can't ask the government to pay on your behalf. Amalei Rav, all Tachta Loitzer Kamrit, you're asking a question from that circumstances? Certainly, that case is a case where the Jew is appointing an Akum. And since the Jew is appointing the Akum, that certainly is also. If he just said, save me from the government, so it's not that obvious that he's asking him to pay Yayin Nesach on his behalf, and therefore, under that circumstances as mutter, other circumstances would be also. The Rishonim point out that why is this different than the case that we discussed earlier in the Masechta, where a person is allowed to give his workers money to buy food that he wants to feed them, and even though they're going to buy with that money non-kosher wine. And here we're saying that al yoyma adam l'akum al tachte l'aitzer. So the Ramban answers, because there he doesn't have to give them the food directly anyway. So since he doesn't have to give them the food directly, he could give them money, and therefore it's not the same as our case. The Ritva asks that our Gemara is saying that al yoyma adam la'akum ol tachta la'itzer, because he's then acting on behalf of the Yisrael. But as we learned, and we'll discuss this concept again further, isn't there a concept of ein shlichus la'akum? So the Akum isn't acting on my behalf, so why should it be asr? Says the Ritva, that even if we don't consider this explicitly as a case of shlichus, since the Akum is doing something on my behalf, and he's doing it with Yayin Nesach, therefore it's asr. Again, an introduction to our Mishnah. As we have learned many times, a Jew is not allowed to benefit in any way from Yayin Nesach. And therefore, says the Mishnah, Hamaychi Yayin Loi V'Kachavim, if somebody sells his wine to an Akum, Pasak Achloi Modad Dabim Mutarim. And as becomes clear in the Mishnah, what the Mishnah is referring here to is a situation where the Akum and the Yisrael came to terms on the price of the wine, and the Akum took ownership of the wine before the Akum took ownership of the wine before the Yisrael, before he acid the wine, he did a kinyan. Machloikes Rishonim, what does that mean? Most Rishonim are of the opinion that if all the Akum did was just do medida, measuring the amount of wine that's here, particularly when it was done under the supervision of Yisrael, that won't make the wine usher. So since the Akum took ownership of the wine, and the wine is an usher, the wine is in Yayin Nesach, so now he became obligated to pay the Jew prior to becoming Yayin Nesach, and therefore, Dama Matarim, the Jew could collect that obligation. However, Madad Achlei Pasach, if he touched the wine before there was a kinyan, so now it's still the Jew's wine, and it's the Jew's wine that became usher because the Akum touched it. Now the Jew can't take payment for it. Dam Vasurim, the Jew can't take payment because he would be taking payment for Yayin Nesach, which, as we have been learning, you're not allowed to benefit from Yayin Nesach. Begins our Gemara by Ezra Hashem Yisbarach, a sugya And we begin a sugya of what is considered a valid kinyan by an akum, which of course is very relevant to what we just discussed in our Mishnah, because we need that the akum should take ownership of the wine before the wine becomes asr. Amar Meimer, says a Meimer, Meshicha b'ayva avik chavim kaina. Meshicha is a valid form of kinyan by the akum. And there's a very fundamental machloikus rishonim how to approach this Gemara. Some rishonim explain that what our Meimer is teaching us is that Meshicha is a valid kinyan by akum. And not only is Meshicha a valid form of kinyan by akum, but so too is Kesef. Furthermore, as the Rishonim point out, Rashi points out, and we'll prove this later in the Gemara, when we speak about whatever form of kinyan is valid by an akum, it means both when an akum is kind of something from Yisrael, or Yisrael is kind of something from an akum. A Meimer is saying that Mashiach is a valid form of kinyan, and as you just quoted the opinion of many Rishonim, a Meimer is not coming to exclude Kesef. He means that Mashiach and Kesef are valid forms of kinyanim. Tosfos, however, has a very different approach, because Tosfos refers to the famous machloikis of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, that by Yisrael, what is a valid form of kinyan? Dvat Torah, if Midaraisa Mars Kainis, if Kesef is a valid form of kinyan, or Dvat Torah Mashiach Kaina, or Midaraisa Mashiach, a valid form of kinyan. And Tosfos says that what Amemar is teaching us is that Kesef is a valid form of kinyan by a Yisrael, and it's not, and by Akum, whatever is valid by Yisrael, the other thing is valid by an Akum, and therefore Mashiach will be the kinyan that's valid by an Akum. According to this approach, we have a very fundamental problem, because indeed, when we speak here, when we were speaking about a Mechira, so in a situation of Mechira, so you can have Mashiach, or you can have Kesef. But when we have a Matana, when somebody is giving somebody a gift, there is no Kesef, there is no money being exchanged. So if we're saying that Kesef, according to Rav Ashi that we're going to learn in a moment, is the only valid form of kinyan by an Akum, how will an Akum ever be able to take ownership of a gift? So the Rishonim explain that if we follow the opinion that Amemah is not excluding, that Amemah says both, so then we're fine. But according to other explanations, we're going to have to say that the way he'll take ownership is through Hagbah, Kinyan Chatzar, which they themselves have their own issues, which we'll discuss on Amud Beis. As we approach this Gemara, it's important to point out that this question of what type of Kinyan is effective is a very, very relevant question. It's relevant in the situation of Mechiras Chametz, that we know that the minig in Klal Yisrael is that we sell the chametz to an akum before Pesach, and we need to know what is a valid form of kinyan midoraisa, that the kinyan of the kinyan of the chametz to the akum should be a valid kinyan. And in fact, because of this question, because of the issue that we're discussing in our Gemara, that we're not just quite sure which is the valid form of kinyan, Rabbanim are typically careful to use all the forms of kinyanim when they sell the chametz to the akum. And as the Paiskim can point out, kinyan mashicha is relatively easy for us to accomplish. What's a little more complicated is kinyan kesef, because the halacha is that if there's a kinyan kesef, there has to be a pruta given to every person that the akum is purchasing the chametz from. So if you have a rav who has a very large community and he's selling the chametz of many people, he has to make sure that the akum who gives him kesef to affect the kinyan, there should be a shava pruta for the chametz of every separate family, unless the rav becomes a shlich for everyone, and therefore it will be much easier. Omer Amemer, so therefore again repeats the Gemara, Mashiach b'ayv kacham koina. Mashiach is a valid form of kinyan by an akum. Teida, what's the proof that it's a valid form of kinyan? Tahani prasoi mishadri parshanor lahadodi, they send gifts to each other, v'loi hadri bahu, and they don't retract. So we see that they only do Mashiach, and yet it's a valid form of kinyan. Rav Ashi Amar, Laila Ma'ay Malach, I can argue the Mashiach by the Kacham ain't a Kaina. The Mashiach is not a valid form of Kenyan. So if all they did was Mashiach by these Parashadoi, why can't they retract if there was no Kenyan done yet? V'hadaloi Hadribaho, and the fact that they can't retract is for a different reason altogether. There's Ramas Ruchud in the Kitalai. It's because they're arrogant and they don't want to in any way show that they're retracting from a deal that they got involved with. Amar Rav Ashi, Menor Aminolo, says Rav Ashi, from what's my proof that Mashiach is not a valid form of Kenyan by an Akum? Mida Amalu Rav Lahanus of Yaisi. Because Rav would sell those Jewish wine merchants. Ki kailisa chayim alav kachavim, when you sell wine to the Akum, shkula zizu minayu, first make sure to get money, so you should have a kinyan, so the wine should become theirs, before it becomes yayin nesach, as we learned in the Mishnah, v'hadar kailun lehu, and only afterwards measure the wine for them. V'ilay nikitu bahadai zuzu, but let's say the Akum isn't carrying any money with which they could do a kinyan kesef. What you should do is a zvinu, lend money to them, for hadash shkila menayu, and only afterwards take money from them. Keich dehavi halvah gabayu, in order they should owe you the money. The eloi of diso hachi, because he warned them if you do not do something. We have to be concerned that if the Akum takes the wine, wine becomes also tziyayin nesach v'kikish shaklisu, and therefore when you take payment for that wine, the meyayin nesach kashaklisu, you'll be taking the payment for yayin nesach, which we know is aser. Says Rav Ashi, v'isal kadayach the Mashiach by v'kacham koina. If we're going to argue the Mashiach is a valid form of kinyan, midemashke of the kachavim, as soon as the Akum does Mashiach kanye, it becomes his. However, it doesn't become Yain Nesach at the Nagabei. So why is Rav Huna giving them this entire warning? They should do Mashiach. As soon as they do Mashiach, and as we said before, that Mashiach in itself will not make the wine into Yain Nesach, but it does make it into their wine. And since it makes it into their wine, before it became Yayin Nesach, the Jew is allowed to take payments for it. The fact that Rav Huna did not give them this advice must be because Mashiach isn't a valid form of Kinyan by an Akum. Says the Gemara, either Kar Kayel V'Rami L'Mani D'Yisrael, if he was measuring it into a Keli that belonged to Yisrael, says the Gemara, Hachinami, it would be a valid Kinyan. The Mashiach would be considered a valid Mashiach. It would be considered the Akum's wine, but it would be considered the Akum's wine before it became Yayin Nesach, and therefore the Jew would be allowed to take payment for it. What the Mishnah, what Rav Huna was concerned about was, L'tzricha de kakai of Ramel L'mon Adavi Kachavim, where he was pouring it into his own Keli. And since he was pouring it into his own Keli, and we have to be concerned that in his own keli there's residue of yayin nesach, so therefore the wine becomes usur because of yayin nesach, and therefore the Jew can't take payment for it. And that's why Rav Huna said that you have to be careful that to pay kesef, because this wouldn't work. Saif. Ask the Gemara, what is the problem? What are we concerned that if the guy is pouring the wine into his own keli, and on the bottom of his own keli, he has left over yayin nesach? That's why all the wine becomes usur. But why is that a concern? Ask the Gemara. Soif. Kimot la'avir that mana, the kanyan helps as soon as it comes into the airspace of the keli. And at that moment it becomes the guy's wine. At that moment the kinyan is effective. At that moment the guy owes the Jew payment for the wine. But Yai Nesach, Soif, Yai Nesach lehavah, but it doesn't become Yain Nesach at the Matal Arisa. So what are we concerned that the Akum is poured into his Keli? Him pouring it into his own Keli doesn't make it Yain Nesach, but it does make it his. It becomes his as soon as it comes into the airspace of the Keli. Yain Nesach it isn't until it comes to the bottom. So the Rishonim discuss at great length what kind of Kinyan is it when it comes into the Akum's Keli. So the Ritva explains that this is a Kinyan Hagbah, because the Ritva explains that since this wine is going to ultimately land at the bottom of the Keli, and it's the Akum who's holding the Keli, and the Keli is making it into a valid Kinyan, and the Keli he's holding the Keli that it should be able to land in the Keli, it falls under the category of Kinyan Hagbah. There are other Mefarshim that say that it's a Kinyan Keli, it falls into the category of Kinyan Chatzar, which we'll discuss in a moment. Ask the Gemara. By the Gemara saying that this isn't effective, that we can't say that the Kinyan is effective as soon as it comes into the Avra of the Keli, but it doesn't become Ayin Nesach until it actually hits the bottom of the Keli. Why? It must be because this opinion holds the Nitzik Chibur, the fact that it's connected to the Keli, the fact that it's the bottom and the top are connected, it's already considered Yayin Nesach, which, as we're going to learn Mitzvah of future Shurim, we already mentioned it previously, the issue of Nitzik being a Chibur or not is actually a question. So if he was told not to do this, isn't it a riot that the reason he was told not to do it is because Nitzik Chibur? Answers the Marloi. No. Either Nakalei of Chamel Kale Biyodin. Again, we're going to learn the Gemara like Rashi. Indeed, if the Akum was holding the Keli, and there would be a Kinyan Hagboha, the Kinyan would be a valid Kinyan as soon as it comes into the Avra Keli. Yayin Nesach, it wouldn't be until it hits the bottom of the Keli, and therefore everything would be fine. Here, however, we're referring to a situation, the Monachara. And going back to the explanation that we quoted the Ritva. The Ritva says, why is it a Kinyan Hagbah? Because the Akum is holding the Keli, and the Akum, by holding the Keli and maneuvering that the wine that's being poured into it should be poured properly, is considered a making a Kinyan Hagbah. But that's only when the Akum is holding the Keli. If the Akum is not holding the Keli, that wouldn't be considered a Kinyan Hagbah, and therefore it's only a Kinyan when it hits the bottom of the Keli. And when it hits the bottom of the Keli, when it's a Kinyan, at the same time it's touching the residual wine that's left at the bottom of the Keli, which makes it into Yayin Nesach. Ask the Gemara, V'tikna Le Kalef, why don't we have that it's a Kinyan as soon as it comes into the airspace of the Keli? Isn't this a raya that the fact that it's not effective, Shamino Kalef Shalakeach, Brishus Moich Lekanalakeach, maybe the reason is because it's the Akum who is the buyer of this wine's Keli, but the Keli is in the Rishus of the Jew. It's the Jew's wine, so he's obviously in the Jew's shop. And from here we should have a raya, a question that we discussed in Masecht Bava Basra. If Kalev Shalakalev is Kainam of Rishus Meicher or not, from here we should have a raya, the Kalev Shalakeach is the Rishus Meicher like Kana, and that's why the Kinyan can't be effective because of Kinyan Keli, because it's Rishus Meicher. And we'll have an answer to the question that the Gemara in Baba Basra poses. Ask the Mefarshim, what kind of Kinyan is a Kinyan Keli? A Kinyan Keli is a Kinyan Chatzar. And why is Chatzar effective? Kinyan Chatzar is effective because of Shlichus. And we know that ain't Shlichus Lakum. So how could the Gemara suggest that Kinyan Chatzar should be effective if Chatzar worked because of Shlichus? So actually the Ar Sameach says that the Gemara, when it meant that the Kalim Shalakeach should be an effective Kinyan, the Kalim of the Akum should be effective Kinyan, doesn't mean that it should be effective because of Shlichus, because as I just said, ein shlichus lakum. What the Gemara means is that it should be effective because of hagbah. That a kinyan keli should be considered as very gishmak, according to the explanation that we gave from the Ritva, that this is a form of hagbah. That's what the Ars Meich learns. Others explain that actually there's a question, why is Kinyan Chatzar effective? Some explain that Kinyan Chatzar is indeed effective mitam shlichus, but others say that Kinyan Chatzar is effective mitam yad. So even though ain't shlichus lakum, but there is yad lakum, and what the Gemara means here, it's effective because of yad. But again, the Mefarshim try to explain that there certainly are many of the opinion that chatzar, kinyan chatzar, is affected because of shlichus, and ain't shlichus lakum. So I saw that the Tzoyis explains this Gemara very beautifully. When we speak about shlichus, why is there halacha of ain't shlichus lakum? The halacha of ain't shlichus lakum is, because the Gemara says, how do we know that shlucha shel adam kamaisai? Because the Torah teaches us, barimchem emenu es chelboi, a pasuk by Truba, to teach us, just like shlucha shel adam kamaisai, that just like I could take off truma on my own behalf, so too could a shliach take off truma on my own behalf. Says the Tzoyis. And the Gemara continues, ma atem b'nei bris, just like you who have the obligation to take truma are a Jew, af shluchachem b'nei bris, so too must be your shliach. Says the Tzoyis. So we have two types of shlichas. We have shlichas when a person is doing something on my behalf, or we have shlichas when an inanimate object is doing something on my own behalf, like my chotzer. Says the Tzoyis. When a person is doing shlichas on my behalf, so the Torah indicates that the only shliach, the only person who could be a shliach for Yisrael, the only person who's in the parasha of shlichas is a Yisrael, not an Akum. Ma'atem b'nei bris, av shluchachem b'nei bris. But here we don't have a person doing the shlichas. We have a chotzer doing the shlichas. When it's a chotzer, when it's an inanimate object doing shlichas, we don't have this exclusion that it has to be a ben bris. Others explain it's along the same explanation, and the stipel says this explanation. He says as follows, that when a shliach needs to be appointed, so the halacha is that we could only appoint a Yisrael to be a shliach, not an Akum. Here, we're not appointing somebody to be a shliach. Here, we're actually having the chatzar without the specific appointment that you chatzar be a shliach. And therefore, there's no halacha that it's limited to Yisrael. So again, ask the Gemara, the fact that the kalim of the Akum cannot be koina the wine on his behalf as soon as it enters the keli, should be a raya, the kalif shalakeach b'shus moichel lekona. Says the Gemara, it's not a raya. Loyalam emla kona lekech. It could well be the kalif shalakeach b'shus moichel is kona. V'ochav b'mayiskinen. Here is a different problem. Kigoyin de ikka kevis yaina puma de kuznisa. There's a little lip which retains wine on top of the Akum's barrel. The kama, as every drop of wine hits this lid, insichle, it comes in contact with that non-kosher wine and becomes usr. As Taisvis, we have a drop of wine in this lip. And here we have a lot of wine being poured from the barrel into that lip. So why doesn't it become bottle? Answers Taisvis, a concept that we've discussed, but a concept that we will discuss further on Daf Ayin Gimel in Mitzvah. Says Tosfos that by Yayin Nesach we say min de minoy, if kosher wine and Yayin Nesach come in contact with each other, it doesn't become bottle even by Mashahu, and therefore we can't rely on Gittel. Others ask on Tosfos' Kasha that how could have Tosfos even suggested that we should rely on Bittel, why would this not fall into the category of Eim Evatlin, Issa Lechatchila, that we can Lechatchila rely on Bittel? Answer the Mefarshim. When do we say Eim Evatlin, Issa Lechatchila? The best example is if I have a pot of meat cooking and I pour in a drop of milk and I know that the milk will become bottle and I rely on Bittel. So there is a halacha to go deliberately and pour milk into my pot of meat. However, here, my intention, the Yisrael's intention of pouring the wine into this keli, even if there's a drop of wine in the lip, drop of Yayin Nesach in the lip, is not to be mevatel that Yayin Nesach. His intention is to pour wine into the keli, and therefore that's not in the category of Ein Mevatel Nesel Mechatchila. Ukman, and who does Rav Paskin that it would be Usser, unless he took the money before the wine became Yayin Nesach? It seems the like of Shimon Gamliel. Dear of Shimon Gamliel, if we're going to follow the opinion of Shimon Gamliel, Homer of Shimon Gamliel, as we're going to learn in Daf Ayin Dalet, is of the opinion that it doesn't become completely Usser. Yemach kulo av kachavim chutz medmei Yayin Nesach Shiboy, says the Gemara. Midu hu tam el Rav. Whose opinion are we trying to explain? We're trying to explain the opinion of Rav. Homer Rav, halach of Shimon ben Gamliel, when do we follow Shimon Gamliel's opinion? Chavis b'chavis. That we have a whole group of barrels of wine. One barrel is Yayin Nesach. The rest of the barrels are fine. So he says, take the value of one barrel and Yom HaMelech and keep the rest. You can take the money for the rest. But not when wine gets mixed up with other wine, even if Shimon Gamliel, according to Rav, will agree that that's completely awesome. Meisei, so we go back to Amemus' position, that Amemus says Meshicha is a valid kinyan by Akum. We learned this Gemara previously. It says, Alokeich grutos menav kachavim, if somebody buys scraps of silver from an Akum, umat benav des kachavim, and he finds amongst the scraps avodah zarah, says the Brice as follows. Im achlai nosim mos mashach, if he did Meshicha, but didn't pay for it, yachzer, he could give back the avodah zarah and deduct that value from the price he has to pay. However, if he did Meshicha, if he and gave money, then he has to take the avodah zarah and just throw it out. Now, ask the Gemara. Isak adat Meshicha by v'kacham koina, if we're going to say the Meshicha is a valid kinyan, why in the first case can he give back the avodah zarah? He had a full-fledged kinyan. And from here, as we pointed out at the beginning of this year, we see that when we discuss Meshicha by an Akum, it's not just Akum from Yisrael, but the same then applies by Yisrael from Akum. Amar Abaye, here is a different reason. Meshina mechzi kemekach tos. If there was only Meshicha, and the Yisrael never intended to buy avodah zarah, that's why he can return it. Amarei, Rava asks Rava, and the Mefarshim point out, it's not that Abaya is speaking about Amemah's opinion. Abaya and Rava lived many years before Amemah. Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is similar to Amemah's, and Abaya and Rava were referring to Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, say the Mefarshim. Amarei, Rava, if we're saying that it's a Mekach Tos, Reisha Mekach Tos, Sefer, in the Sefer it's the same Mekach Tos, El Amarava. Indeed, correct. Reisha v'seifa, it's a mekach tos. The Jew never intended to buy avodah zarah. However, Reisha the lo yov zizi, in the Reisha where it was only Meshicha, but he didn't pay, it doesn't look like Mexico avodah zarah b'yad Yisrael, and that's why we allow the Yisrael to return it and get back his money, not have to pay for it. Seifa the yov zizi, Seifa, where besides that there was Meshicha, he also gave money. So now it looks like much more merci kavod kacham b'yad Yisrael. It looks like there's an avodah zarah in the possession of a Jew, and that's why we're more machmer. Ask the Divrei Chayim that isn't this a case of roitzah b'kiyumah, that until he returns the avodah zarah to the Akum, so that he should be able to deduct their value from what he owes the Akum, he wants the avodah zarah to continue existing, otherwise he won't get credit. And we learned that roitz kiyuma is asur. Answers the Divrei Chayim. Since here we're referring to a situation of mekach tos, so really the Jew is not responsible for that avodah zarah. He could take the deduction even if he doesn't return the avodah zarah, and therefore it's not considered roitz kiyuma. Again, not a Gemara is challenging Rav Ashi's opinion. The Rav Ashi says Meshicha is not valid by an Akum. And it challenges from what we learned in our Mishnah. Tashma, we learned in our Mishnah, if somebody sells wine to an Akum, says the Mishnah Pasuk, if the price was set before they did the Medida, Dama Matarim, ask the Gemara, if you were of Ashi hold, the Mashiach by Vikachav Me'enakaina, Amaidam of Mutarim, the Mashiach didn't make it into being the Akum's wine. Answers the Gemara. Answers of Ashi, Hachamai Skinan, Amish referring to a case, Dagdam Lay Dinner, where he gave the Jew money, and that's what affected the Kenyan. Ask the Gemara if that's the case of the Mishnah. Let's continue learning. Mother, that's Shloi Pasak. If they did Medida, but they didn't set the price, Dama Masurim. But why? If our Mishnah is referring, ask the Gemara, the Kadam Lay Dinner, that the Akam already gave the Jew cash to affect the Kenyan, Amai Dama Masurim, it's already the Akam's wine. Amalei, ask Rav Ashi, Ul Didach, Dam Mashiach Ba'avikacham Kaina. According to you, that said the Mashiach is effective. Amai Reisha Dama Matar V'Sefer Dama V'Sorim. If in the Reisha and the Sefer there was a Mashiach, and it's already the Akum's, so therefore why is it Osir in the Sefer? Elamai Eslachameima. Because even if there's a Kenyan, and we've spoken about this concept many times, a Kenyan can only represent Smichas Das. That there's a decision to make a Kenyan. But you could only have Smichas Das, suggests the Gemara, where the price has been set. And therefore, Pasuk, if they set a price, we have some chedata, there's smichas das, and therefore there's a kinyan, loy pasuk, but if they didn't set the price, there's some chedata. So even if you have an act of kinyan, it's meaningless. Says Rav Ashi, the same to me, the didinami. Avgav the kadam lay dinner, even if the ratio he gave cash, even if we'll say the both in the ratio, to say if he gave cash, but giving cash in itself, giving kesef in itself, doesn't affect the kinyan. And therefore, pasak, in the ratio where they set the price, and kesef was given, some chedata, you could have a kinyan. In the sefer, loy pasak, where they didn't set a price, loy some chedata, and you don't have a kinyan. Amalei Ravina Lervashi, Toshma. If a guy steals less than a shava pruta, he's killed. Because by guy, as we've learned many times, as Aaron zu hi misasan, that at any aver of the shav mitzvahs that they're over, the chai misa. Furthermore, they don't have to return it. Many explanations. The simplest explanation is that even though it's considered an act of geneva, pox mishava pruta, but still, the Jew doesn't care about it, and therefore he doesn't have to return it. Others say that there's no din of a Heshavis Gzela. The Torah teaches us of a Heshavis Gzela. The din of a Heshavis Gzela was only set to Jews, not to Akum. Others explain that we apply the concept of the Kimle B'drabmanei. Since, as we just said, he's going to get killed, if he's going to get killed, he doesn't have to pay back the money. But ask the Gemara, if we're saying the Mashiach is not koina by an Akum, so just because he took the cash of the, just because he took the object of the Yisrael, my Nereg, it's not, he didn't take it. A Mashiach is nothing. Answer the Gemara, Mashiach the Tzar of Yisrael. The reason he's Chayiv Misa is not for the Geneva. There was no Geneva, there was no Mashiach. It's because the pain he caused to the Jew. What does Noi Nitin L'Shavim mean? If he didn't steal, there's nothing to give back. The ain't a bit tyrus of shavim. They teach us that it's not chayiv to the din of ishavim because there's no ownership. And as the Rishonim point out, Rashi points out, if so, the halach would be even by the same din would apply even when it's more than a shavah pruta. The only reason Rabbi Yochanan spoke about a case of less than a pruta is to teach us that a ben noyeg is nerag even a pox mishav a pruta. Ask the Gemara Yochai Mesefa Bochaver v'nitl memenu, if another akum came and took it from the original akum, neragale, the second akum would also be killed. So is the Gemara Bishlam Reish Mishim the Tzar Yisrael. The ratio we were able to explain that he really didn't take ownership because Mashiach is nothing. Why is he chai misa? Because he caused the Jew distress. El Sefer, when the second Akum, the Mashiach from the first Akum, there's no concept of Tzar Yisrael, and what Mashiach was saying is meaningless. El Sefer may of it, so how does it become his that he should be considered a gazlan in this item? El Shmami, no, Mashiach by the Kachavim, it must be the Mashiach by an Akum is a valid form of taking ownership. Mashiach by the Kachavim, Koina, Shmami, no, we did have a raya, the Mashiach is affected by an Akum.